My dear son, I am helpless and very much aggrieved. You should not give up my company. Just look at your lamenting father. We are helpless because without a son, we shall have to suffer the distress of going to the darkest hellish regions. You are the only hope by which we can get out of these dark regions. Therefore, I request you not to go any further with the merciless Yama. Purport. According to the Vedic injunctions, one must accept a wife just to beget a son who can deliver one from the clutches of Yamaraj. Unless one has a son to offer oblations to the Pitas or forefathers, one must suffer in Yamaraj's kingdom. King Chitraketu was very much aggrieved, thinking that because his son was going away with Yamaraj, he himself would again suffer. The subtle laws exist for the karmis. If one becomes a devotee, he has no more obligations to the laws of karma. I might read to the end of the chapter because there are no purports, so we might as well polish it off. My dear son, you have slept a long time. Now please get up. Your playmates are calling you to play. Since you must be very hungry, please get up and suck my breast and dissipate our lamentation. My dear son, I am certainly most unfortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. You have closed your eyes forever. I therefore conclude that you have been taken from this planet to another, from which you will not return. I can no longer hear. My dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, accompanied by his wife, who was thus lamenting for her dead son. King Chitraketu began crying loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. As the king and queen lamented, all their male and female followers joined them in crying. Because of the sudden accident, all the citizens of the kingdom were almost unconscious. When the great sage Angira understood that the king was almost dead in an ocean of lamentation, he went there with Narada Rishi. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Punanjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Tadatitsva Vedantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatavinam. So, here we have what is it called? After somebody dies, what happens. What happens when somebody dies? Huh? Funeral next. Actually, not a funeral, not quite yet. A lot of lamentation, but awake. In English, it's called awake. Not awake, not waking up, but a great deal of crying, lamentation, distress, disappointment, depression, in fact, the son of Maharaj Chitraketu was called, or does anybody know what his name was? Harshashoka, right? Which means happiness and distress. Huh? Happiness and distress. Aptly put. And Prabhupada mentions here, because Maharaj Chitraketu had gone to so much trouble to have a son. A lot of endeavor and had been unsuccessful for many, many years. And as Prabhupada points out in the purport, according to Vedic injunctions, a son, well, the purpose of getting married, entering into the Grihastha ashram, is to beget a son. Right? According to the Vedic injunctions, the son is putra, which means, Prabhupada explains, one who saves the father or the family from hell. Right? Of course, that assumes then that one must be performing sinful activities. Right? As a householder, you perform sinful activities. Otherwise, why would you need a son to save you from going to hell? Right? And of course, these injunctions, Vedic injunctions, yes, but injunctions meant for whom? Who does Prabhupada say these injunctions are meant for? Kamis. The Kamis. Yes, the Kamis. The Kamis, Prabhupada describes as being fruitive workers, which means those who are attached to the results of their activities. And generally, they want to perform good karma so that they can enjoy in the future, especially in the heavenly planets, where, as Prabhupada was saying yesterday in class, the duration of life is beyond anything that we could even conceive. And the level of enjoyment far surpasses any experience that we could have in our existence here on the in the middle planetary systems. This is called Martya Loka, because in the human species, we live a very, very short period of time according to the measure of the demigods. And so taking birth in the human species or in the animal species means always having to die. Suffer, basically. So if you can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy because of the very long lifespan and the comforts, the pleasures, the facilities that are afforded to the demigods, so then one will engage in these sacrifices, these karma kanda sacrifices, so that one can be elevated to the heavenly planets. But of course, in the pursuit of these, in the pursuit of material enjoyment, there are also the impious activities or actions that a person performs, knowingly or unknowingly, and very often unknowingly, we're engaged in activities that produce future suffering. Nobody goes out of their way to create suffering for themselves. Huh? The idea is to create a pleasant future. And so one then follows the karmakanda rules and regulations, injunctions, to attain a better birth. And this is why the sun is considered important, because of the mixing of one's karma, the good and the bad, the sun can perform the pinda, or the sacrifices that will release us from the reactions of our bad karma, so that we can then enjoy the fruits of our good karma. But Prabhupada summarizes this or balances this consideration. This was a deep concern from Maharaj Chitraketu. He wanted a son to enhance his material progress, material existence. But Angira Rishi and Narada Muni, right? Narada had different plans for Maharaj Chitraketu. They had another plan. Right? He wanted a son for material benefits. Jai Sisi Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, Radhasham Sundara, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Angira Rishi and Narada Muni had plans for Maharaj Chitraketu. And there's a history, or there are a number of histories, that illustrate where the father gets the son, right? Thinking, oh yes, a son. My future will be secure if I get a son, right? How many people here have got sons? How many people here are parents? Raise your hands. Okay, good. So, how many have sons? Does it make you feel good? Yeah. My dad had 3 sons. And the eldest, that was me, gave him hell. You know, so, and this is what happened to Maharaj Chitraketu, to Maharaj Anga, is a famous example. His son was Jena, right? And he was a terror, a tyrant. So he got a son, but then his son caused him so much trouble. So, you know, you get a son, but that doesn't guarantee anything, especially in Kali Yuga. That can mean you just have more anxiety because of the expectations. Oh, I have a son. Woohoo! Huh? But then he becomes a monster, a rascal. Huh? And this is what happened to Maharaj Chitraketu. He got a son. But the plan of Angira, and he was thinking, oh, okay, he might be a little bit naughty. Right? He might be a little bit naughty. I can tolerate that. But then he died. His existence was focused on just having a son, that his son would save him, and he's died. Which is a tragedy, you know, that ordinarily the children should outlive the parents, right? This is the normal scheme of things, is the parents should be looked after by the children in old age. And after one's left, then the children perform the sacrifices and yajñas, relieve you from your bad karma so that you can go to the heavenly planets. And he's died. What to do? But there's another plan here. Maharaj Chitraketu at this stage is a what? He's a kami, basically. That's what Prabhupada's saying. He's a kami. He's not yet a devotee. He's not yet a devotee. And Angira Rishi's plan and Narada Muni's plan was to make Maharaj Chitraketu a devotee. That was their secret purpose. Right? This is the devotee's purpose, is to make everybody else a devotee. Right? But interestingly, not necessarily directly. When they came to Maharaj Chitraketu's palace, they could see he wasn't ready for devotional service. Right? Couldn't preach to him. So they had to do some indirect behind the scenes maneuvering. Right? Sometimes you can't preach directly to a person. They won't accept it. They don't have the ears to hear. Have you noticed that? Huh? This is, one has to become an expert. Well, before we start talking, we should first of all listen. Huh? And to gauge a person's receptivity, we have to listen to their questioning. They have to be inquisitive. Maharaj Chitraketu's inquiry was, how can I have a son? How can I have a son? Please give me a son. So he wasn't ready for spiritual instruction at that point. Right? But when his son, Harshashoka, you know, he was so attached to his son, when he departed, then that bereavement, that sense of bereavement that Maharaj Chitraketu deeply, painfully felt because of his attachment to his son, put him in a state of shock. No? Death is such a challenging experience, because it means a person's no longer. One minute we're with our friends, our family, our mums, our dads, our grandparents. They're with us, they're protecting us, they're sheltering us, they're showing love and affection, and we share that bond
And then all of a sudden, it's broken.
Have you seen a dead body? Where was it? You know, in European, I guess, Caucasian culture, dead bodies are tucked away. You don't see them. Last year, my mother passed away, I was in Mayapur actually at the time, and we flew back for the funeral, and I went to put a garland and some Ganga Jal and so forth, and my father was quite, you know, not scared, but uneasy, uncomfortable to see the dead, to see my mother. But because I was going, and because we were going to do some, we were going to do the Hare Krishna things, and my father respects my devotional practice, and he came along. But it was still a shock to see my mother, because you see the form, the body is there, but no life. Right? So it's, Prabhupada says, you know, all the chemicals are there, but nothing's happening. So all the ingredients are there, but all you've got is a dead body. No, and so that affection, that love, that those feelings of attachment, I think, is how we put it. They're broken, cut, and harshly. You know, death is final, or at least, as we know, at the end of this body. And so that relationship is broken abruptly. So Maharaj Chitraketu, in that state of mind, he was shocked. And in that window of bereavement, of shock, the living entity, the individual, is then open to instruction. Prabhupada calls it, Smashan Vairagya, the renunciation of the burning gut. Right? People tend to be philosophical at the time of another's death. That's the reality. And so, at that point then, Angira Rishi and Narada Muni came along. Right? But they didn't instruct Maharaj Chitraketu. They did something more intelligent, smarter. Right? They revived the sun, and they got the sun to preach to Maharaj Chitraketu. And because he was so attached to his son, and because he was so shocked from his bereavement, but then he's brought back to life again, then the sun was able to give him transcendental knowledge. So, yes, it's good to have a son who will get you to the heavenly planets, but it's better to have a son who's a devotee, right? Who preaches you, you know, give up this nonsense attachment to material pleasures. This is what happened to Maharaj Anga. His son, Vena, he was such a rascal. He caused his father so much grief. He was described like a blind eye. You've got the eye, that's good. but you can't see with it. So what's the point? It just is a source of trouble, a source of pain. So instead of the sun being a source of, well, initially, yes, a source of happiness. Oh, I've got a son, my son, my son. He became a source of great lamentation. So Maharaj Anga took that as a positive. He said, yes, this, and Prabhupada mentions it yesterday, he mentions it in the class, society, friendship, and love. Just a cause of pain and suffering. So, and of course, this is material existence. And this sign of lamentation coming from Maharaj Chitraketu is a measure of his lack of Krishna consciousness or lack of spiritual understanding. And why we don't place too much importance on having a son or having a daughter. They'll be a source of pleasure, but they'll also be a source of pain. Right? And for the devotees, the bhaktas, as opposed to those who are engaged in bhakti, as opposed to the kamis, who are engaged in activities for their future pleasure and enjoyment, the devotees understand Krishna's instruction second instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. Matras pasas tukuntaya sitoshna sukha dukkadaha agama payano nityas tangs titikshasva. One has to tolerate. One shouldn't be too elated if one is successful. Oh, I've got a son. And one shouldn't be too depressed or dejected because one suffers a loss. One has to tolerate. Our identity as spirit soul is the kutastha, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, the steady. And in the material world, we're going to experience the unsteady all of the time. It's always going to be, we get some benefit, or we get some pleasure, and then on the other side there will be some suffering and distress. And so we need to work with what we've got. And don't be surprised if you lose. That's normal. And don't be surprised if you make some progress. A devotee accepts that as Krishna's arrangement. If Krishna wants to take my son, let him take him. If Krishna wants to give me a son or followers, let them come. But they're not mine. It's not mine. You know, we wake up one day and we realize, ooh, I've got a body. Or I'm in this body. We don't know how we got here. The body just, it's sort of like, ooh, here I am. And at the time of death, it'll be taken away, just like that. We don't know where we're going. We don't know how we got here. We don't know where we're going. Unless we're Krishna conscious. Actually, it's interesting, the Bhagavatam says that if you make, or when we make advancement in Krishna consciousness, we can know where we came from and where we're going. We can, in general terms. We can get an idea of where we came from. We must have been devotees in our previous life, otherwise we wouldn't be here now. And we can assume that we'll be devotees in a future life because, well, that's why we're practicing Krishna consciousness, isn't it? So we have some idea. But the transcendentalist, the bhakta, the devotee doesn't become overly too attached or too detached. What? This is mentioned in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. It's natural to feel some loss. So that's normal. And it's natural to feel some pleasure when you gain something. Right? It's normal. So that's, but we shouldn't become overly absorbed in these happiness and distress. And so the devotee is described, dhiras tatra namuyati. There's changes. Birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, dwindling, and then death. These are the natural sequences. Happiness and distress are natural sequences. But the devotee has to learn to tolerate and to also appreciate in distress there is an opportunity to make spiritual advancement. And that's what's happening here with Maharaj Chitraketu. He's experiencing the opposite of what he wanted. But as it turns out, that's for his benefit. But it's not what he wanted. He wanted to enjoy this laughter and the smiles and playing with his son. But all that would have done is made him more and more attached to his son. But when the son was revived and started to preach to him, then he got the real benefit. The real benefit. His son was a devotee and he enlightened him. So, in our distress, you know, we can't always expect to be happy. Even the Hare Krishnas, you know, we chant and be happy, right? But even for the devotees, there will be times of distress, but we use that those feelings of distress, those feelings of loss, and lose we will. Material world is such that we will lose everything in due course of time. Everything will be taken away, but we use those distressful situations to understand the realities of material existence. It is not a place to make a permanent situation, a permanent solution. The only solution, permanent solution, is to go back home, back to Godhead, which is our original position. And when the material world when circumstances are difficult and we're experiencing pain and discomfort, that's actually for our spiritual benefit. And so, you know, there's that verse of Lord Brahma's, Tattenu Kampam Susumikshamano. I offer my obeisances to the Lord and accept accept the difficulties, the losses, the pain, the distress, as Krishna's mercy. And see in that, or realize in that suffering, that the treachery of material existence, where the material energy offers us so many enticements, but ultimately will give us a heavy jab, punch, cut. So, Maharaj Chitraketu here is still not at the point where his inquiry is a pertinent, relevant, but the scene is being set here for him to be receptive to the instructions of his son. And in fact, the next chapter is called "The Saints Narada and Angira Instruct King Chitraketu." So, does anybody have any comments or questions at this point?
Jagannath Puri Prasad to all the devotees here for me.
Will I? How can I refuse? Okay, very good.
Thank you.
What's that cockroach doing there? Anyway, Hare Krishna.
What was what?
There's a cockroach in it. See there?
Well, he got the mercy.
I guess so. I'll leave it here. So, you can. Anybody have any comment or question? Besides the. Yeah. You're thinking.
Better to have a son than not have.
Better to have a son than not have.
And raise him as a devotee, as an engagement.
Yeah. You're thinking that.
Yes, I support that.
You support that notion. Why? You could have a daughter? Would it matter?
Same thing, but we should have, and we should raise them as devotees.
Because I tell you what, yes, but it's Krishna's arrangement, I would say, right? Whether we have a son or a daughter. The daughter can preach as good as the son.
Same thing, right? Whether the son or daughter.
Yes, 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 because most of us will be in the household of ashram, right? Krishna says, sex life according to religious principles, that I am, right? So we have we're studying the Upadeshamrita at the moment. We have our Vegam, the pushings, right? And so of all of the pushings, sex impulse is very strong. So Prabhupada mentions that urge can be used in Krishna's service. Any urge, practically speaking, the urge to speak, the mind's demands, anger. So we can engage the impulse of the genitals in Krishna's service and make devotees. But they won't always be devotees, though. I know a number of my friends whose children are not particularly good devotees. So it's also, it can be a source of lamentation, right? You work hard, bring your children up, and then they may go and eat meat or whatever. Now, having said that, I have other friends who also have sons and daughters, and the sons and daughters are all chanting 16 rounds and following all of the rules and regulations, initiated or preparing for initiation. So one has to pursue these endeavors, but with a degree of detachment. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. Now, this is interesting. We should show love and affection for our children, but at the same time be detached from the results. Right? Just like in our preaching. We can preach to so many people. How many of them will actually become devotees? We don't know.
But our own children.
Our own children. Yeah.
So they have to be very responsible.
Yes, but my point is, at the same time, be detached, because they may not be. But yes, you're right. We very careful to make our children. That's a, in one sense, that's the main service of a parent. And you know what? I've seen. In one sense, the parents have done service to Krishna and have neglected the children. And as a result of that, then the children didn't become devotees. So it's a one has to be very careful in that endeavor to be successful. Can be done, yes. You've been thinking too, huh?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yes, yes.
So, to have children, it depends on really what's best for one's own Krishna consciousness. If I should have a child, if I have a child. Some people may get married, they may find more service just in preaching, in public preaching societies, and going through the process of raising a child, especially probably due to how difficult it is to raise a child to become. So I think it really depends. On
Yep. My wife and I had twins, but they didn't survive. And I wonder what I would have done to, how I would have handled parenthood. I don't think I would have handled it very well. You become attached. And they do things that you don't want them to do. Of course, you can have saintly sons. No? Yeah? He met the devotees. He already was a devotee, so his natural qualities came out, and they were nourished by the parents. They were, the parents placed the inherent devotional qualities in the children. Must have children. Yeah, well, that's his point, and it's correct. But one has to be, and Prabhu's point here is, you must be very careful about raising children. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Without attachment. Yeah.
But as Ruby is saying, that then it should not be an understatement. But then what is the point of getting married? The association of, why you want that? You don't want a child. Why you want that if you really want to preach instead something of a variety of thoughts? The thing that you demand, and then why you want association of women and then don't want a son? That's nonsense. That's completely out of,
No, I think we have to be careful. You know, I know devotees who, especially even in my own case, you know, as it turned out, we weren't able to have a family, but as a husband and wife, we were able to preach and work together. And so, you know, there are other aspects and circumstances. So if a couple don't have children and they're preaching, that's also good because they're making devotees. So now I have more sons and daughters than I could have ever have imagined. And Prabhupada mentioned that too. He said, I left India and I was worried about my family. You know, it wasn't easy for Prabhupada to just leave his family. Although he did it, but it wasn't easy. And he said, you know, I left my family, which was a significant, you know, challenge for him. He says, he mentioned, you know, I would dream, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was beckoning me. And Prabhupada says, I was scared. Right? He was scared. But he makes the point that later on, I saw that Krishna arranged so that I had a bigger family and more sons and daughters. So, yes, ordinarily, marriage is for begetting children. But if that's not possible or doesn't eventuate, still, preach. Preach. And you know, doesn't mean you have to take sannyas necessarily. Prabhupada wanted his householder couples to preach, set a good example. Even if they didn't have children, look after temples.
People will ask questions also.
Ask questions.
They have to pay, so what do they preach if they don't show their ideal
grihastha?
Yeah,
but there will be exceptions. My point is, there will be exceptions. Yes, Krishna's mercy. Yeah. I couldn't have a family. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, hey, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you have a family? You rascal. You're not setting a good example. Can't do that. Have to look at the circumstance. See, our preaching should always be kala, desha, patra, time, place and circumstance. And you know, we don't go around the place, we look for the married couples who don't have children, we say, you rascal. Why haven't you got a family? Where's your son? Just like Prabhupada preached and preached and preached in India and had no disciples. Right? We couldn't say to Prabhupada, you're useless. Right? Just looking at one point in his career and say, oh, useless sannyasi, no disciples. Right? But at that point in time, Prabhupada was working. And eventually he realized, I have to leave this place. Not working here, let me go somewhere else, at least try. Prabhupada said, let me fail in New York. Because up until that point in time, by some measure, Prabhupada wasn't successful. Right? Up until 1966, 67, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was not a sure thing. It was not a given. Right? It was not. And Prabhupada wasn't even sure himself. And then later on he said, Krishna had a plan for me, but I couldn't see it. He said, Prabhupada himself said this, I couldn't see it. So very often we can't see what Krishna's plan is for many, even for ourselves. Later on he could see it. Yes, later on he could see it. He said, I gave up my family, but then Krishna gave me an even bigger family.